Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 62 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Arlo Barnett.
This is something that we have seen numerous states across this nation tackle.
A group of state officials met this afternoon to discuss medical marijuana legalization.
Brady Industries is keeping their records closed.
A man has been arrested in connection with two fatal shootings in Louisa.
Moorhead State's Adult Learning Center is collecting books for disadvantaged youths.
Doves of the Gateway is asking for Christmas donations.
In sports, the Moorhead State men's team plays IUPUI on the road tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly cloudy skies tonight, a 20% chance of rain. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
State officials met this afternoon to discuss game plans for legalizing medical marijuana in the Commonwealth. WKYT reports the task force is studying how to put a proposed bill into action and the logistics of enforcing its regulations. Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes is leading the effort.
I'm going to lend my voice as someone who's going to be an advocate for the hundreds of thousands of folks who are suffering across this state. This is something that we have seen numerous states across this nation tackle, especially the neighbors across Kentucky's borders. It's something that the people of our state are looking to leaders like myself to help solve.
The task force includes members of Kentucky's medical community, law enforcement, and military veterans. State Representative John Sims is co-chairing the effort with Grimes. He plans to sponsor medical marijuana legislation in the upcoming regular session.
State Representative Jim Wayne has a couple of questions on the sexual harassment case that caused former House Speaker Jeff Hoover to step down from leadership. Wayne says he hopes the Legislative Ethics Commission can determine what happened and how the undisclosed settlement was paid. Wayne spoke with Spectrum News' Pure Politics about filing a complaint with the Ethics Commission.
With subpoena power, they can gather all the documents that are necessary. They can interview people under oath, including the legislators and anybody who knows anything about the situation. They can do a much more comprehensive investigation of the facts.
Wayne says he wants to make sure the legislature knows sexual harassment allegations are taken seriously.
After a three-year-old accidentally shot himself last week, Board for Change Executive Officer Luther Brown believes now more than ever there should be gun control in America. Brown spoke with Spectrum News' Pure Politics about legislation pre-filed by Representative Jim Wayne of Louisville. The bill would require trigger locks on guns when they're stored. Brown says he's experienced firsthand what harms guns can bring.
I'm going to continue to fight this bill until the breath leaves my body, because it is very important. Mr. Wayne adopted this bill. Senator Neal was a part of this bill. And because of my grandbaby, Baby Dre's death, that's when we started this process. And I'm going to fight this until the breath leaves my body.
If the legislation is passed, a gun owner could be charged with a Class A misdemeanor if a minor gets their hands on an unsecured firearm and shoots someone.
The Ashland Daily Independent reports Brady Industries is keeping their records closed to the public. WMKY's Cody Robinson reports.
Kentucky's Attorney General is unable to resolve whether or not Brady Industries is a public agency. Chris Ottz, a reporter for WDRB News in Louisville, requested financial records from Brady in October and was denied, leading to a follow-up appeal. The open records law states that a business's financial records must be made public if at least 25% of their funds are provided through state or local authorities within a fiscal year. However, Brady Industries has not been in operation for a full fiscal year and is still considered a private company. Once their first fiscal year is complete, the Attorney General's office can determine if Brady is required to release any withheld financial information. Reporting for WMKY News, I'm Cody Robinson.
Lexington police are investigating a series of shootings that damaged multiple homes and vehicles Sunday night. Authorities tell WKYT a home and two vehicles in the driveway were struck by bullets on Hannah Place. Less than an hour later, Brenda Morgan's home on Hollow Creek was also hit.
I had my grandkids in here with me, laying in the bed, sleep. Bullet ricocheted our head and went in the wall.
The police got out the door.
Then another bullet shade hit my daughter's wall.
Still making arrangements for Thanksgiving. I could have been making arrangements for a funeral.
The third overnight shooting occurred an hour later on Connor Woods Drive. Police said several rounds were fired into a house and two cars in that driveway were also affected. Four people inside the house were uninjured.
A Martin County man is facing murder charges after a double homicide in Louisa. Yesterday afternoon, police arrested 21-year-old Eldon Muncy on two counts of murder. WYMT reports 35-year-old Randy Blevins and 50-year-old Mary Evans Smith were found dead yesterday morning at a home on Yellow Creek Road. Kentucky State Police spokesman Michael Muriel says troopers responded after a neighbor called 911 saying a man was trying to break into her house.
A female stayed in the residence. We had deputies with the Lawrence County Sheriff's Department and our troopers responded to that location.
Once they got there, troopers say they found Blevins dead on the caller's front porch. They then searched Blevins' home, finding the body of Evans Smith. Police say both victims died from multiple gunshot wounds. Muncy is lodged in the Big Sandy Regional Detention Center.
A cabin in Montgomery County was destroyed in an explosive fire early this morning. WKYT reports the blaze started around 2 a.m. on Adena Hills Drive in Jeffersonville. Neighbors reported hearing several explosions in the house at the time of the fire. Officials say the owner was not home at the time, and no injuries have been reported. We'll have more local headlines after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Some customers of the Martin County Water District are without service today following two early morning water main breaks. Marcy Dials is the district's office manager. She says the system began leaking around 4 a.m. when a main line broke under Newberry Lane in Inez. Dials says another break on Union Road happened around the same time.
More than likely, the drastic temperature drop probably, caused that. Those two major leaks, they ran a long time apparently, and our water got low, so we had to issue, a bull water advisory countywide, even though everyone didn't lose water. But, because the tanks got low, we had to do that, as a precaution.
Assuming the line repairs are finished today, Dials predicts the boil water advisory could be lifted by Friday. She says crews have been working all day to fix the Newberry Lane break. They're expected to tackle the break on Union Road sometime this afternoon.
The Moorhead State University Adult Learning Center is collecting books for disadvantaged children in Rowan County. The Storybook Christmas program has been providing books for children for the past 28 years. Opal Fannin is with the Adult Learning Center. She says the program is important because reading is an essential skill.
There are studies that show that children who have printed material in the homes do better in school and later on when they join the workforce. So we feel that providing books to children is a way to help them get a head start in life.
Our listeners can drop books off for a Storybook Christmas here at the WMKY studios, and monetary donations can be sent to the Adult Learning Center.
The Doves of Gateway Domestic Abuse Shelter is asking Moorhead residents to donate Christmas gifts. Brian Courtney has more.
Each year, Doves seeks to provide Christmas gifts to residents of the shelter. The facility is home to 12 families, including 25 women and children. Each child makes a Christmas list, and then a willing sponsor can pick up the list at the shelter or electronically. The shelter also accepts items such as clothing, food, deodorant, and towels. Doves is federally funded, but also relies on donations and fundraisers with the community to maintain operations. For information on how to support Doves, either with Christmas gifts or a general donation, call 784-6880. For WMKY News, I'm Brian Courtney.
Tickets are on sale for the 2017 Ye Olde Magical Feast, November 30th and December 1st. This is the 14th year for the medieval-style banquet. Organizers of the event are hoping Morehead State University alumni who once performed in the festivities will do so once again. Dr. Greg Detweiler directs the choral music for the event. He says the evening will close with a beautiful arrangement of Silent Night.
We've been doing that for years, almost ever since it started. So most of our choir alumni know that piece. And so this year we decided that it wouldn't be a great idea if we asked the alumni to come and join us singing that piece. We always sing that piece in a circle, circling the audience. So it's a wonderful moment, which people love.
Tickets for the Magical Feast can be purchased through MSU's Office of Alumni Relations and Development or by calling 800-783-2586.
A Lexington transitional home may close due to pipes collapsing. According to WKYT, the rescue mission is struggling to keep the Potter House open and may have to close it if repair costs for the collapsed sewage system aren't met. This will mean that the 11 people currently staying in the home will be forced back into the streets. Mission Development Director Lauren Carr says this isn't the first time the group has dealt with these kinds of issues. Pipe repairs forced them to close their outreach center a few years ago, but community donations helped the facility reopen again.
We never thought we'd be in this situation again, but we saw God's hand at work and how he moved people's hearts to give, and that pipe was paid for 48 hours later.
The mission is seeking over $13,000 this year to clear repair costs in order to keep the Potter House up and running.
As Thanksgiving approaches, firefighters throughout the region are reminding people to be safe if they deep fry their turkeys. Darren Day is a captain with the Lexington Fire Department. He tells WKYT deep fryers are a common cause of house fires.
We will make a couple of these. It's just going to happen. And what we always find is it's not a freak occurrence. It is preventable.
Day says deep fryers are serious fire hazards and should not be used inside, on a deck, in a garage, or on an uneven surface. The hot oil can overflow and catch fire. If an oil fire does occur, do not throw water on it. Instead, try to smother it. Day adds that oil and water don't mix, so make sure the turkey is completely thawed before it's fried.
Turning now to a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening region. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, lows around 32 degrees. Tomorrow, it'll be sunny and cooler than today, highs around 43. Tomorrow night, mostly clear, lows around 27. On Thursday, partly cloudy, highs in the upper 40s. That night, clear, lows in the lower 30s. On Friday, at the end of the work week, sunny with highs back up around 55. That night, mostly clear, lows around 42, and on Saturday, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-50s. It's currently sitting at 63 degrees in Ashland. It's 60 right now in Winchester, 64 in Inez, 59 in Flemingsburg, as well as in Lexington, and 62 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, commentator Grant Alden wants to have the conversation that everyone else is avoiding.
Hey, can we talk about pensions just for a minute? Because as a serial entrepreneur, I've never actually had one. Up until I got married 19 years ago, my retirement plan consisted of becoming a burden on society, just as it has been a burden on me, which seemed a whole lot more clever 30 years ago when I was a punk rock critic than it does now. Black humor aside, I am the grateful beneficiary of a pretty good public education. As a parent, I am acutely aware that if our children are to compete in the constantly changing 21st century economy, they need to be well taught. Just as each day's news reminds us that our representative democracy depends upon well-educated citizens. Nor can our society function without highly trained first responders. Which is why the conversation we're not having about pensions is so troubling. Now, let's not pretend the Democrats are blameless here. Whoever decided it was a good idea to borrow from public pensions to balance the budget should be, well, they shouldn't be in office. And the proposal to legalize casino gambling to shore up the pension system, come on, is that really the best we can do? Instead, why don't we try to do what's best? Not what's cheapest. What's best? Best I can tell, the single biggest predictor of success in the classroom, assuming students arrive at school fed, warm, and loved, is the ratio of students to teachers. The fewer students each teacher has in class, the better the results. So, instead of gutting the pension system and making it even less likely that bright young people will pursue careers in education or law enforcement, what if we tried a different way to fund the pension system? How about we hire, just to pick a number, 10,000 brand new teachers, professors, and first responders over, say, the next 3 years? That would be a significant infusion into the pension fund that, yes, in 27 years or so, would have to be paid back out. And then, here's a truly radical thought, how about we give a pay raise to all existing teachers, professors, and first responders, a significant pay raise, holding back half of it to further bolster pension funds? And while we're dreaming here, how about we restore funding to public education instead of trying to figure out how we can cut it more? But wait, that all costs money. Yes, yes it does. And you get what you pay for. A certain strain of American political thought argues that taxation is theft, that we should be allowed to keep every cent we earn, save for those pennies absolutely necessary to national defense. Balderdash. Taxes are an investment we make in the future of our community, our commonwealth, and our country. Taxes are the price we all pay to live in the society we say we want. So, yes, read my lips. Raise my taxes. Not to enrich the rich, to invest in our shared future. Now, I'm not going to be happy about it, and I'm going to want an accounting for every single cent, because that's my job as a citizen. But that's the conversation about pensions we ought to be having.
Grant Alden is a business owner and a book and music aficionado here in Moorhead. It's 4:47 and 62 degrees on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm Leanne Akers here with Arlo Barnett, and we are glad to have you with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Braxton has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located on Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for recyclables. Funded in part through a grant from the Kentucky Division of Waste Management, an additional green trailer rotates among Elliottville, Farmers, Hayes Crossing, and the MMRC Fire Department on Kentucky 801 North. The rotating trailer schedule is online at moorheadrecycling.org.
Eagles visit Indy. Good afternoon with WMKY Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Moorhead State men's basketball team is on the road to do battle with IUPUI up in Indianapolis this evening at 7. The Eagles got a home win against Marshall last Thursday, in large part due to the Eagles out-rebounding the Herd 49-28. And head coach Preston Spradlin says that should be the norm for his Eagles this season.
That's who we are. That's who we're going to be at Moorhead State. That's who they've been here in the past, and that's who we're always going to be. We have got to really relieve our shooting by getting extra chances and really getting to the offensive glass. And we challenged our guys the last couple of days to do that because it cost us against a good Lipscomb team, though our guys made those adjustments.
Both MSU and IUPUI are 1-2 this season. The game can be watched online at ESPN3.com. The Moorhead State women's basketball team travels to Lexington to take on Kentucky tomorrow. The game concludes the Matthew Mitchell Classic, an event to honor the former MSU head coach and current UK head man. MSU coach Greg Todd says his team is excited about the game.
We look forward to playing the University of Kentucky. It's a great exposure game for us. They've treated us very well about 4 years at Moorhead State. We're honoring Coach Mitchell this year with the Matthew Mitchell Classic. So we have a very good relationship with them.
Moorhead is 2-2 this season, while UK is 4-0. The Kentucky men's basketball team moved to 4-1 on the year after getting a 70-62 win over Troy last night at Rupp Arena. After building a big lead in the second half, the Cats had just 2 field goals in the last 10 minutes of the game and had to fight off a late run by the Trojans for the win. Coach John Calipari says his team cannot let off the gas if they expect to win against upcoming ranked opponents.
I got to teach them how to win. If that game were closer, we lose the game. You got to figure out who's got the courage to make free throws late in a game when you're getting fouled and you got to go up there and make free throws. Defensively, you just don't have letdowns when you're up 21 and you're ready to bury somebody and you just start acting like it doesn't matter anymore. That's that old AAU high school stuff.
The Cats will have a chance to improve against Fort Wayne tomorrow at 8 o'clock in Rupp Arena. Missouri star freshman Michael Porter Jr. is expected to miss the rest of the season after having surgery today, the school announced. Missouri said Porter will have surgery on his L3 and L4 spinal disc. Porter played in only 2 minutes of the team's opener before getting injured. Retired NBA star Ray Allen says he's a victim of catfishing and has asked a court to throw out a case where he's being accused of stalking someone he met online. Allen filed the emergency motion in Orange County, Florida on Tuesday, one day after Bryant Coleman told the court that he'd been stalked by the 10-time All-Star and 2-time NBA champion after Coleman pretended to be a woman online interested in Allen. The Kentucky football team battles rival Louisville this weekend at Kroger Field. A win Saturday would give Kentucky its 8th win of the year, an improvement from last year's 7-5 record. Head coach Mark Stoops admits Saturday is a huge game for his program.
It's big because it's important to our players, it's important to our fan base, and it's a rivalry game, and there's a lot at stake. 8 wins, I don't think has been done in, 33 years? That means something to me. As I've mentioned in here many times, you keep on trying to knock down as many doors as you can, but I am proud of some of the things we've done, and getting 8 wins is another step forward.
Both Kentucky and Louisville enter Saturday's game at 7-4 on the year. The Kentucky High School Athletic Association has announced its Hall of Fame class for 2018, and it includes a local baseball star. WMKY's Greg Jenkins has more.
Former Ashland Blazers star Bill Lynch is a member of the class. Lynch won Mr. Baseball in Kentucky during his senior season at Ashland in 1966, while leading Ashland to the first of 3 consecutive state championships. He finished his career in Ashland with a 27-2 pitching record, before being selected 32nd overall by Cleveland in the second round of the 1966 MLB draft. Some other members of the class include former Louisville star quarterback Brian Brome and longtime Powell and Knott County Central basketball coach Dave Fraley. Lynch and his 12 fellow members of the class of 2018 will be inducted into the Hall of Fame on April 21st at the Hilton in Lexington. They will also be recognized during the semifinals of the boys' basketball Sweet 16. For WMKY Sports, I'm Greg Jenkins.
And finally in sports, Cincinnati Reds first baseman Joey Votto finished second in this year's National League MVP voting. And while he admits he's disappointed to not win his second MVP award, Votto says it's an honor just to be a finalist.
Holy cow. I mean, what an honor to finish second, and what an honor to receive 10 first place votes. I mean, that's with the way we finished in the standings. You know, it just wasn't a strong year by our club. To receive 10 first place votes is just such an honor, and I'm very, very, very grateful for that. So, you know, to the ladies and gentlemen that voted for me, that's really, I'm appreciative.
Giancarlo Stanton won the MVP over Votto by just 2 votes. That's sports for WMKY. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Women's basketball hosts Kentucky Christian at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, November 28th. Men's basketball welcomes Alice Lloyd College 6 p.m. Thursday, November 30th. That's followed by a women's basketball matchup with Southern Illinois at 8:15. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386, online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. U.S. stocks rose to record highs as a rally in tech lifted the broader market. Investors also cheered strong quarterly results from top companies in corporate America. And at the close, the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 160.5 at 23,590.83. The S&P 500 was up 16.89 at 2599.03. The S&P 500 hit 2,600 today for the first time, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 71.76 at 6,862.48. And technology was very strong today as it was the best-performing S&P sector, and the Technology Select Sector Exchange-Traded Fund which tracks the S&P 500 technology sector, was up 1%, and it reached levels not seen since the year 2000. Large-cap tech stocks like Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Alphabet, which of course is the parent of Google, all closed higher, along with iShares NASDAQ Biotechnology ETF. Investors also digested strong earnings from some of the biggest U.S. companies. Medtronic, Hormel Foods, and Dollar Tree all posted better-than-expected quarterly results, and this was before the bell, and this sent all of these stocks higher as Medtronic shares were up almost 5%, while Hormel and Dollar Tree were up 3.4% and 2.4% respectively. In the commodities markets, oil was strong, finishing with a gain of 1% at $56.96 a barrel. Gold was down 0.3% at $1,279.70 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were up as the Stock 600 index was up 0.4%, and stocks were very strong in Asia, with the Nikkei index up 0.7%, and the Hang Seng index in Hong Kong finishing with a gain of almost 2%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Apple and Microsoft, while the worst performers were Walmart and GE. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Jacobs Engineering and TripAdvisor, and the worst performers were Signet Jewelers and Campbell Soup. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 9 cents at 70 and a quarter, Marathon Petroleum up 35 cents at 62.29, AEP up 34 cents at 76.78, AK Steel up 22 cents at 4.86, CSX up 51 cents at 50.22, and Kroger was down 43 cents to finish at 22.77. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Fiscal Court, sponsor of the annual Moorhead-Rowan County Community Christmas Dinner, 4 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, December 7th at the Carl Perkins Community Center. Rowan County residents are invited to enjoy dinner served by the elected officials of Moorhead City Council and the Rowan County Fiscal Court, 4 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, December 7th at the Carl Perkins Community Center.
Taking a look at some events coming up in our region, the MSU Symphony Band will present their fall recital at 7:30 p.m. on Tuesday, November 28th. The recital will be held in the Duncan Recital Hall of the Baird Music Building at Moorhead State University. Admission is free and the public is invited.
The Moorhead chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness will meet at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, November 28th at the Pathways Building located at 325 Main Street in Moorhead. Guest speaker will be Barbara Harvey, a mental health peer specialist. Family, friends, and loved ones of people with mental illness, as well as people living with mental illness, are encouraged to attend.
The 8th Annual Craft Bazaar, the MSU Student Art and Craft Sale, will be held November 30th and December 1st in the gallery of Moorhead State University's Claypool Young Art Building. Available for purchase will be locally produced jewelry, paintings, knitwear, prints, ceramics, and more. Hours are 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Thursday, November 30th, and 9 to 3 p.m. on Friday, December 1st. Admission is free and open to the public.
And F. Scott Fitzgerald's The Great Gatsby will be performed by the Viking Thespians at the Rowan County High School's Performing Arts Center. Performances are 7 p.m. Thursday, November 30th, and Friday, December 1st, along with 2 p.m. on Saturday the 2nd. General admission tickets are $5. And taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening region, tonight mostly cloudy skies. You can expect lows around 32 degrees. Tomorrow it'll be sunny and cooler with highs around 43. Tomorrow night mostly clear, lows around 27. On Thursday partly cloudy with highs in the upper 40s. That night clear with lows in the lower 30s. On Friday it'll be sunny and a little warmer, highs around 55. It's currently 62 in Moorhead.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Jack Caudill, Chaz Jenkins, Cody Robinson, Ellen Barnett, Brian Courtney, Sean Delaney, and Braxton Howard. And with our feature segment today, commentator Grant Alden. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Arlo Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.